a single story of His infinite glory. Captured through divine discourses, music, bhajans, and through Vedas, talk shows, interviews, panel discussion, and study circles. All brought to you live from the epicenter of our times, Prashanthi Nilayam, India. Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Just like the background music of flute, the Vahinis are the melodious messages of Bhagwan, so that we too, like the flute, can become instruments in His hand. Flute always reminds me of how Bhagwan used to say that the flute is straight, the flute is hollow, the flute has no bends, and the flute is simple. The flute is natural. The flute has no complications. The flute is nothing but air of the Creator creating melody. The flute enables the air to create melody because the flute is absolutely hollow. And that is something that is the journey of every spiritual aspirant. This is what always comes to mind when you look at Lord Krishna and you look at the flute and you feel, oh flute, how lucky you are. And Swami says, you too can become my flute. All you have to do is just learn a lesson or two from the flute. And to me, all these messages that Bhagwan has written in the Vahinis, be it Prema Vahini, Sandhya Nivarini, Dhyana Vahini, Gita Vahini, Prashnottar Vahini, everything is to help us towards this goal. Because Swami says, if you have ego, go. You have no place to be in the proximity of the Lord. And every spiritual endeavor in some ways is towards that goal. And if we connect to everything that Bhagwan has mentioned in His teachings towards this aspect of emptying ourselves, we will find that everything is a reiteration of this. In fact, as you go through Sandhya Nivarini, we are going through chapter 7 of this beautiful book, we will find that many points sometimes do overlap. But if you look at the substratum, if you look at what is common, everything is somehow leading you towards how pure can you become. And purity is all about forgetting yourself. You are not the body, you are not the senses. You are something more deep within, connecting to that source. So in the last few episodes, we have been contemplating on segment 7.3 of Sandhya Nivarini. And this chapter, very interestingly, has Bhagwan as Bhakta, asking what will help for a devotee to become closer to God. And Swami himself narrating and giving out very beautiful, clear directions. And each point is a Veda by itself. Each point is so potent, so pregnant with meaning. And that is what we have been doing in the last few episodes. We've almost spent 1 hour or more on each of these directions of Bhagwan. We were blessed to have Professor Bhagya with us in the previous episode as we were contemplating on the point number 24 and 25. In 24, Swami is talking about how if you can conquer the senses, you can become conqueror of the universe. And Bhagya sir gave us very simple practical tips. In fact, after the session ended, I had so many responses. My phone had so many messages from people saying that the tips that sir mentioned about how to control the senses, how to control anger, how to control the urges have helped them immensely in trying to walk on this path. It is always a privilege to listen to someone like Bhagya sir, who had the opportunity of many close interactions with Bhagwan, lived with Swami for so many decades and was in the presence of the Lord as he interacted with the students. And he also had the opportunity to interact generations of students and seen how the teachings of Bhagwan gets translated so beautifully in the lives of so many students. In some it happens quick, in some it takes time, in some it happens so beautifully, in some it happens in a way you can never ever imagine, but it happens. Today also, by Swami's grace, we have the blessing of listening to Bhagya sir in this episode of Sandhya Nivarini. So like in every episode of this program, let's listen to what Bhagwan has written in this segment 7.3 and then we'll pray to him to guide this discussion.
Fifteen. Try to keep under check the five sins that the body commits. Killing, adultery, theft, drinking intoxicants, and meat eating. The sacred life can reach the highest if these can be completely avoided. 16. One must be always vigilant, without a moment's carelessness, against the eight sins that the mind perpetrates: kamam or lust, krodham or anger, lobham or greed, moham or attachment, mother or ego, envy, hatred and pride. Man's primary duty is to keep all these things at a safe distance. 17. When in pursuit of wrong actions, man's mind acts hurriedly. During these times, without allowing the mind to go its way, remember the name of the Lord and attempt to do some good deed or the other. Those who do thus will certainly become fit for the grace of the Lord. 18. First, give up the evil tendency to feel envious at the prosperity of others and the desire to harm them. Be happy that others are happy. Sympathize with those who are in adversity and wish for their well-being. This is the sign of God's love present in you. 19. Patience is all the strength that man needs. 20. Those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds. 21. It is easy to conquer anger through love, attachment through reasoning, falsehood through truth, bad through good, and greed through charity. 22. Do not respond to the words of the wicked. It is good to keep them at a distance. In fact, do not have any relationship with such people. 23. Seek the company of good men, even at the cost of your honor and life. However, pray to God to bless you with the discrimination needed to distinguish between the good and the bad. You must also endeavor to do this with the intelligence given to you. 24. No doubt, those who conquer kingdoms and earn fame in the world are hailed as heroes. But truly, those who have conquered the senses must be acclaimed as the conquerors of the universe. 25. The results of one's action, whether good or bad, continue to always pursue man. 26. Greed yields only sorrow. Contentment is best. There is no happiness greater than contentment. 27. The evil manipulations of the mind has to be uprooted, else it will ruin life itself. 28. Bear with fortitude both loss and grief, and search for that which will benefit you and grant you joy. 29. When you are invaded by anger, practice silence or remember the name of the Lord. Do not remind yourself of things which will inflame the anger more. That will do incalculable harm. 30. From this moment, avoid all bad habits. Do not delay or postpone. They do not contribute the slightest joy or happiness.
So those are Bhagwan's beautiful directions, and sometimes many points seem overlapping, isn't it, sir?
Yes, there are. In fact, last time we discussed few points which cover fully or partially these statements. As you rightly say, these are gems, and these nuggets have to be valued, read and overread, and try to put into practice. Then you will see the importance of such guidelines in our lives. I don't know if you allow me at random one or two points I would
please, sir.
Like to share, even before I came here, how these things were unknowingly given to me by my parents and teachers and elders.
In fact, last time you mentioned about your love for mother.
Yes.
And that was something very, very powerful, and how Bhagwan later told you that whatever you're receiving now is because of your love and respect for your mother. I think that was something very beautiful.
And how my father told me that wherever you go and work, remember two things, that if you are paid 1,000 rupees, you should work for 10,000 rupees.
Wow.
Give benefit to the company and never tell a lie.
Yes.
Face whatever mistakes you do, face it. Face the consequences of your mistakes. That is better rather than trying to cover up your mistakes. So similarly, with Lord's grace and blessings of parents, I would like to share, recalling, I recall this with a joy, my first job which I got in the company at that time called NOSL, National Organic Chemical Industry Limited, one of the best petrochemical complex in Asia at that time. Now it is taken over by Reliance Company. So how I applied, and again, finally the chief technologist, he called me for an interview just to give me a chance, because I was as if knocking the door again and again. He asked certain technical questions in the interview, and I could answer but his pronunciation, he was a person from Scotland, so his pronunciation were a bit difficult for me to understand. And I didn't hesitate asking him to repeat the question he was asking. So much so, a few times I asked him, you write down, what are you asking? I'm not able to, because he had a cigar in his mouth and his feet on the table and leaning on the chair and pop, 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 he was asking something. My English is not my mother tongue, but whatever I knew, I told him. Whatever I did not know, I told him, sorry, I don't know. And he was quite pleased. He took the interview for 2.5 hours. Then he said, Mr. Bhagya, how much of the conversation which I spoke, words I spoke, did you understand? I said, about 30%. He said, what? I thought I'm gone. He said, people working with me don't understand even 5% of what I speak. So it was a joke apart. You know, why I'm telling this? Be true to yourself. It is appreciated.
Yes.
Don't feel that the other person, he has a very good plus points and mine is weak points. So
be confident and be genuine.
Genuine.
Yes.
Honest.
All the time.
Yeah. Now, cutting the story short on one or two incidents on this itself, this company. Actually, after chemical engineering, as I had mentioned last time, I had a chance to go abroad, and because of mother's love, and I accepted it, I changed the plan, and that's how I applied for these companies. And I did get the interview and then finally got the job in NOSL. Now, my colleagues, out of 60 classmates we were, 55 had gone abroad. After several years, one of my colleagues, I don't want to take the name, probably he's one of the listeners like you, he came back after States doing MS. He was also of the similar nature. His parents told him, now enough, you have worked there for a few years, come back and settle in India. So his eyes also went on such a best petrochemical complex. He applied for a job, suitable job. Finally, he could say that he will be useful to the company for technical advice, marketing of a special product called PVC for certain special outlets. He got a job. First job, it was given to him that apart from the technical advice you give to the customers, dealers, wholesalers, you have to fulfill the targets. So he started, he was telling me, he met me of course, that this is very difficult, the targets which they are giving. I said, you do your best. Almost a month was getting over. Then he came across one big dealer. And he went to him hoping that he'll get good orders, along with that technical support, which he was competent. They did not give him the order because, unfortunately, the dealer was used to some not good practices. Every ton of PVC he wanted something for personal benefit. So he couldn't fulfill the target. Just 2 days were left for the month, and the target was not even 30% fulfilled. He came to my office. He said, Bhagya, I met you 1 month. We enjoyed almost a month. This may be the last meeting. I don't think I can continue because I don't fulfill the targets. I said, whatever you are facing, you tell your boss. He said, no, this well-established dealer, they will believe him. They will blame me rather than that what practices he has. I said, don't worry. Hold on. Have faith in God. So he went. That was a Friday afternoon. He went home. And he was actually waiting for the boss in my plant. Head office, not head office, but in the plant office. So boss did not call him for 1 month appraisal. He told him, come on Monday. Monday, early morning came. Boss was very restless. I had reached before time, whereas this my friend of mine, he took a little more time because of traffic. So boss said, "Hey, where's your friend?" I said, "He's coming." As soon as he come, send him to my office. So fine. I thought there is something not good. He came. I said, "Mr. So-and-so, boss is waiting." He said, "I told you, maybe as an official colleague, this is the first time, last time I meet you." "See, you go there, man." He went there. Boss told him, "How much PVC have you committed?" He said, sir, this many tons, this, that. "What about this big dealer? Have you committed? Have you sold?" "No, sir." "Good."
Oh, he said good.
No, he thought that good means the dealer would have directly contacted the boss that this guy should be thrown out. So he was scared, almost tears in his eyes. He said, then boss told him, "Don't commit any more PVC." "Why, sir?" "Tell this dealer that henceforth you will not get anything." He said, "Why?" He said, "Over the weekend, we had a special order from Defense, Ministry of Defense. All our products have to go there. Don't commit anything." "Good boy, you have not committed anything."
Oh.
How the tables got turned.
Holding
on to truth.
He,
earlier he was hinting to his boss that there are some practices which are not good for the company. Our product is best and people still, they don't believe and they don't give me the defects which I have come to sort out. But they want something different. That means money. Holding on to the truth brought him out from the problems. You never know which corner, how Lord will come to your rescue.
Rescue, yes. I mean, if you are not falling for greed, as Swami says, greed heals only sorrow.
In fact, just one sentence more about this. When he told this guy, dealer, sorry, I cannot give you. I have already discussed with my boss. He said, "Please don't do that. How much you want per ton of PVC? You tell me. I will not tell anybody. I need several hundred PVC. I've committed. My industries will go down, this and that." So he did not get tempted to all these wrong means. And holding on to his truth finally brought him up.
Wow. And I think, you know, it's very powerful. Swami is telling, greed yields only sorrow.
Only sorrow.
Swami is not telling little sorrow. He's not saying little sorrow.
No mixture of sorrow.
No mixture of joy and sorrow. Swami is very clear. Greed yields only sorrow. And contentment is best.
Yeah.
And I think when Bhagwan, this is something that many times very difficult for people to resist.
Temptations.
These temptations
are given to the pressures.
And sometimes you almost feel that, you know, it has become the order of the day. You know, everybody does it.
Yeah.
That is the kind of feeling many times people, I would say, fall into. Like, for example, you know, when we get angry, we say that, you know, I'm human, so it's natural for me to get angry. I'm human, and so it's natural for me to lose my cool if someone says this. You know, I'm human, naturally, it's natural for me to get depressed. But what I always feel is that is not our natural thing.
Swami never.
It is not our natural thing.
No.
You know, we feel that it is natural. So it's natural for us to feel greedy. I remember sometime back in the US, you had this huge adage, which is very popular, greed is good, because they felt that is what the markets want. Greed is good was something that was very popular because it made economic sense. And that is how you had all these bust, economic bust. I mean, all the real estate bubble bringing down multi-billion dollar corporations down. And it's all because of this.
Greed.
Because of this. Greed. And every other day, some scam or the other that you read in the newspapers, even now something is going on in the papers now. It stuns you how such reputed organizations which have such good credibility, so-called credibility, and they are holding deposits of so many thousands of people, innocent people, suddenly someone at the top is becoming greedy and so many people are at risk.
Recently, I don't want to name them, I think all of us know current affairs.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what, every time if you look at the problem, it's because someone got little greedy. Yeah. And it is not just greed yields only sorrow, not to that person alone, but to so many people. And all that karma comes back. And that is what Swami is telling. The results of one's action, whether good or bad, continue to always pursue man. So it comes back. That karma comes back.
Yes.
You know, all the, just like when you do good, the blessings of so many people come to you.
Yeah.
When you do something wrong, then the negative vibes of so many people also will haunt you.
True.
And I think that is the irrevocable law of the universe, isn't it?
Well, along with that, I have one observation made again from corporate world.
Mm.
Coming to the same company, because one gentleman really impressed me a lot. After I completed my tenure in that company, NOSL, I submitted my resignation due to personal reasons of health problems that at the moment I don't want to enter into. Then I was called for an exit interview.
Okay.
Last day, all dues were given, clearance given, and the managing director of the company, I remember at that time it was Mr. M.S. Madhusudan Patwardhan, very accomplished man, successful man, worked in Shell, India, UK, USA, and then he was the first managing director for the company which had Royal Dutch Shell collaboration, a good achievement in his life. So in the exit interview, he said, Mr. Bhagia, now that everything is clear, you are about to go, but see, I have cleared my table. I want to listen from you if you have to say anything about the company.
Mm-hmm.
Where we can improve, or what impressed you, anything we can learn from your observation. Then a thought came to me. I told him, sir, instead of my telling about the company, person like you, in my eyes, very successful, I want to ask you, what is the secret of success, your success?
Okay.
He was taken aback because he never expected this question to be asked at the exit interview.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was a bit pleased.
Mm-hmm.
He was a simple man wearing white and white.
Okay.
And not tucked in.
Oh,
just
very
like us, tucked out.
Okay.
I mean,
just very simple.
Very simple man. Yeah. Shirt and a pant.
Mm.
Only when he used to go for meetings with a full suit and all, formal dresses. Then, and he was a Brahmin. Vegetarian, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Many parties I saw him never drinking, smoking, not eating any non-veg. Even abroad, when I was in Holland for 2 years assignment, he had visited my house.
Mm-hmm.
He and his wife taught us how to live there to be vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Just little background. So I asked him.
So even this, you know, many times people feel, okay, I'm going out, you know, I can't practice, it is very difficult. But I think there is always a way, if you want to do it. If you want to do it. Just know in Europe it is very difficult, no, in this area it is very difficult, you can't, you know, you have to drink here, or you have to...
That exactly reminds me. Very first few days, the temperature was -3, -15, it used to go... And people told me, their colleagues, Bhagya, you have to drink, otherwise you will not be able to... survive, you will be just frozen. I said, why? Nature is giving some vegetables, I'll eat that. He said, you try. So I really went out to see what are the vegetables available in winter. Very special vegetables, like bitlob, and I'm not getting the names now, or sprouches, and things like that. They were grown only in winter, and we used to eat that. And nuts were available. We became rosy eating vegetarian. No non-veg. In fact, I was not even teetotaler. No tea, no coffee, no drink, nothing.
Wow.
So, I did survive more than 2 years and became very healthy. Now, this gentleman, when I asked him the secret, really gave me a very different picture about him. He said, my day starts at 3:30 a.m.
Oh.
He gets up in the morning, finishes his personal needs, then sits for meditation. Or even more. Then he gets up, has tea or coffee or whatever he may be having. Then he pays attention to the problems of the company, organization where he was managing director. Writes down, the solutions come spontaneously. Writes down few notes. Then gets ready. Office used to start at 8 o'clock. Instructions were given to his personal secretary. She would come half an hour earlier. He also used to come, dictate certain instructions about the company. 8 o'clock, he would go, give a round to the company. And by 8:30, he is available to any Tom, Dick and Harry in the company, right from operator, the shift supervisor, to the manager.
So his day has begun much early.
Much early.
So even when everyone is just about to work, he has actually finished the meat of his work, actually.
Yes.
He's finished the major part of his work.
Yes.
Now he's available for all.
All. And so lovingly would listen to the problems, solve any small or a big problems, and take the decisions.
In fact, all those people who wake up early in the morning, they have very organized life. They have very successful lives.
And control of senses. And
control of senses.
Discipline.
And they have very long days. And
connect with the Lord.
Connect with the Lord. In fact, I know so many people who practice this, of getting up early and sorting out their day before everyone else wakes up. You know, by 5:36, they have sorted out whatever they have to achieve for the day.
Yeah.
They have laid the foundation for everything that has to be done for the day. And they are always successful, actually.
Yeah. So that impressed me a lot. And to tell you a little more about him, he's no more, but I'm sure his soul must be listening to it. He came to Swami.
Okay.
He had written a book on Bhagavad Gita for managers.
Oh, wow.
And to my utter surprise, by that time I had a little left, and Swami had accepted me to be here from 86 onwards, but he came quite late, maybe late 80s or early 1991. He wanted to show this book to Swami. Swami came in Varanda. He was sitting quite close to me. Swami came, took the book, patted him, and he was very happy. But Swami at random opened the book and showed him that this interpretation of this shloka you are not written correctly.
Oh my God.
This is Swami.
Oh my God.
Swami explained to them, this is the meaning.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, amazing.
It is amazing how Swami is connected to everyone.
Wow, amazing. And I think, you know, it is all these years of leading such a beautiful life drew him to Bhagwan.
Yes.
And I think Swami just took that opportunity to let him know that, you know, I know everything about you.
Oh, yeah. Even in the same company, one another surprising observation which I had made. Please don't think that I am an advertising company. Company is no more. But I learned the lesson, so I don't mind sharing with the listeners. There was a tussle initial years between the union leaders and the management. So I was party to on the management side to negotiate with the union leaders. Out of several demands, we sorted out 15-16 points. We said that, okay, you will be able to, we will be able to put it across to the higher up. We did it. And at that time, Arvind Mafatlal was the managing director. Chairman of the company. He came, he listened to us, he connected the meeting with the union leaders. And allowed a few of us, senior, to be there in the meeting, negotiation between directly chairman and the union leader. Almost all, 90% of the points which we had not agreed with the union leader and they had accepted it, our way of looking at the thing, this gentleman, Mr. Mofatlal, he yielded and gave it to them.
Mm-hmm.
We were very upset.
Mm-hmm.
Then, after the meeting, he understood, he was senior people, I mean senior, very sensitive and knew the practical purpose of life. After that, he called the meeting for us, that is, the management staff, few. He said, gentlemen, you think that I have started this company to make profit? Yes, profit is one of the major motive, but it's not the only purpose. See, 1200 employees are in the company. It's not 1200, it's 1200 families.
Yes.
They are being looked after by this company. At the moment, company is in red. I have so many other companies. I can always compensate this loss in this company. With the thought that 1200 families are being looked after.
Yes.
So therefore I yielded. When people are not happy, how can they put in their best?
Correct.
And he said, do you think that by not giving them, yes, I have not permitted them to cross the board, but do you think that by not giving savings few crore per year will make me very happy? No. Money doesn't make a person happy. Seeing everybody happy,
yes,
that gives you joy, that gives you happiness.
Wow.
I really learned a wonderful lesson from him.
I think that's what, I think all those people who do not have greed as the motivation.
Yeah, that is the point I wanted.
Motivation.
Yes.
Because greed yields only sorrow.
Yeah.
Because he was so joyful.
Yes.
Because he was thinking about others' joy.
Correct.
If you think only about yourself, then you will be in sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because people think if they think about themselves, they'll be in joy. You think if I bring this gadget for my, if I buy this gadget for myself, if I have this car, if I have this particular thing, or if I have this person in my life, I'll be happy. When you're all the time thinking about yourself, actually that will give you more sorrow. If you're constantly thinking about the other person, about the other person's joy, about the other person's happiness, actually that is what will give you
absolutely
happiness. And I think that is what Bhagwan is so beautifully saying, greed yields only sorrow, contentment is best. And I think that is again something very powerful. Swami says there is no happiness greater than contentment.
Contentment. On that, shall I tell one more?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You are, you know, as of giving me ideas. After 1982, I left the first company, best company, petrochemical in India, in Asia, that is NOSIL. I was searching for a job. And finally, I thought I can start a consultancy firm. I used to come very often to Swami. And whatever offers were coming, unless Swami gives an indication, I would never pursue further. One offer came from Middle East country. And I didn't have a liking to go there, leave India. It was around 60th birthday, Swami's birthday. Then, but Swami said, you go. Not to highlight those details at the moment, I'm coming to the different point. Finally, Swami said, you go there, I'll be there with you. I made Swami sign on a photo, big photo. I told Swami, when you sign, I'll feel that you are always with me. So I took it. So much so that the first Shivratri over there, Amrit came from the photo during bhajans, Shivratri bhajans. So Swami really showed his presence that I am with you. Now, since Swami has taught us, be good, do good, think good, always selflessly go on, help ever, hurt never. So to the best of my ability, I was continuing. So much so I had taken from here, sand where Swami had touched Swami's feet, that sand I had taken. I was appointed as an internal consultant for a company, RO plant, water treatment company, which was converting the brackish water to taken out from the bed of sea, rocks under sea, that water desalinated and supplied to the country. My job was to translate the technology from Japanese people who were operating, who had designed and operating the plant, transfer it to the local people. That was my job. I was selected for the job and they had probably seen the whole Asia, and with Swami's grace, they found me fit. Now, because I know Swami is God, and those people, innocent people, they didn't know anything about God or goodness or character or values from our angle. So I thought, I was praying to Swami, Swami, please shower your grace on them also. I used to put the grains of sand in the final water treatment tank, huge tank. Because I was in charge of the plant, technical side, nobody objected, nobody would see what I'm doing. Otherwise, you get caught and you'll be behind bars. That what did you throw in the...
So, so you're throwing what, sir?
I was throwing the sand touched by Bhagwan.
Oh, okay.
I had taken from here.
From darshan. After the darshan.
After darshan, yes.
The sand that has have the footprint of Bhagwan.
Footprint of Bhagwan. And also I met one big packet of vibhuti blessed by Bhagwan, telling him, Swami, I'll put this in final tank which supplies water to the whole country. Everyone will get some grain of vibhuti, your grace, Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. And I used to get immense joy in doing that. Now, I had many operators under working on for company, but reporting to me. There was some chlorine to be handled, which final stage is to be added for the water to make it free from germs. Now, that was a very little tricky process, how to inject chlorine. I had studied it. I gave it to my immediate boss because he was a local person, excepting me and one more Britisher, all were local people. And plant was being operated by the Japanese people. So my duty, as I said, was to translate the technology from Japanese people to the local people. I told my boss that please tell them the safety precautions of handling certain chemicals, particularly chlorine, which he ignored. I can say very frankly, he was actually jealous of me. He had the high post, but he didn't have much knowledge. Because he was a local person, he had to be given. And in the meeting also, he will show as if I know nothing. Moment I open my mouth, he'll put my put me down. But in spite of that, I knew, having got quite a good experience in India, I knew what will be the questions asked in meetings like where governors and ministers and finally the report goes to the sheikh, that what they would like to know for the country's development. So I used to carry those answers. He would show, hey, you shut up, you don't know anything. In the meeting when exactly the same questions were asked, he didn't know the answer. So what I did, under the table, I gave it to him. He would read those and he was appreciated so much. Still, nature doesn't change. But as Swami has said, you don't change your nature because somebody is not behaving well. He continued. So, on handling of chlorine, one operator got, he inhaled chlorine, serious case. We were in the meeting and my shift supervisor came and told me, sir, somebody is almost on the deathbed. I said, what happened? I ran there. And I told my immediate boss, come, we'll go. He said, you go, it's your problem. I said, my problem? Your local person, he has not followed the instruction. He said, therefore, it is your problem. I said, I have given you all the instructions. I can't talk to them in local language. It is for you to... Anyway, I went there. Now, person, foam was coming out from his mouth, which indicates the last stage. You can't go out of the company unless you have the permission of the boss. Well, boss, he already told me that it's your problem, you face it. Guy is about to die. When I went to the first aid room, oxygen cylinder, no oxygen. Then I was wondering what to do. There comes God's grace, help. I saw the Britisher guy, chief engineer. I told him, see, this has happened. He said, oh, immediately we should, you know, take him to first aid. I said, this is the condition. So, okay, we'll go to the next company, which is about 15 kilometers away. I will drive. I said, I have no car and we can't go out. Then he made a small, very nice gesture. See, at that tensed moment also, he said, you see, he pointed out finger to his face. You see, what's this? White skin, huh? Nobody will say anything to me. Let's go. So we took the operator, went there, they refused. They said, no, this is an emergency case and police case. We cannot accept. You go to the government hospital. We had to carry. Now, on the way, I thought whether he will be alive or not. Fortunately, a bit of Vibhuti packet was there in my pocket. I put Vibhuti on his lips. Lord, now you save him. Otherwise, we all will be gone behind bars. We reached the hospital. Hospital, there's a 4 hours procedure for emergency case. They said, no, we can't accept. All the details are required. Moment I went there and I was wondering that all the local language, I don't know. One gentleman, he said, hey, Bhagya, what are you doing here? He was one of the person singers in Friday Samiti Bhajans.
Oh, okay.
Every Friday we used to have there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what's that? I said, yeah, this guy is already in very, I don't know what condition, emergency. And he said, don't worry. He took him straight, bypassing all the procedure, straight for giving him the treatment. Made him revive, breath, vomiting, this, that.
Mm-hmm.
Took several hours. By that time, the Britisher went back. And the news was spread that Bhagya has killed one local operator.
Oh my God.
Because that guy was jealous about
him.
Then, whereas after, by evening, he was all right. So I took him in a taxi to his house. Moment I reached there, people were ready with the lathis, with the sticks to kill me.
Oh my God.
Moment I got down from the taxi, I opened the other door and this boy came out. Seeing this boy alive, his mother ran and she caressed the boy and she caressed me and then all people, their heads were down and I was saved.
Swami's grace.
Absolutely Swami's grace.
Then,
just to continue there, something happened in my family. I had to leave the company without completing the contract. They won't let me know. Let me go. This guy, my immediate boss, he spread the news that I'm a technical spy in the country.
Oh.
I have come to learn the technical know-how from Japanese to take to India. So, they won't let me go. I said, it's my family problem. My daughter's not well. I have to go back. Then, in the meantime, I came here. Swami told me, go and come back in a month's time. Resign and come back. So, I went and resigned. They won't accept. Further, they thought that, yes, I am a spy now. My telephone was tapped, my movements were noted. Finally, because Swami has told me, come back in a month's time, I booked my ticket without having visa with me to go back. Because they had taken away.
Yeah.
Then, I was supposed to leave on 25th of October. Till 24th October, nothing. No clearance. They told me that you have to pay a lot of penalty. The finance director of the country will interact with you. I went to him and I was told that a lot of your papers have gone to Sheikh. I don't know, spontaneously came out of my mouth that Sheikh of all the Sheikhs has told me that you come back in a month's time, let me see who prevents me going out from that country and coming to Parthi.
You had that conviction.
So 24th now, October. Tomorrow I'm supposed to leave. But no clearance. 24th, that finance director came. He gave me the passport and visa in my hand. He said, "Gentlemen, we have made all the inquiries about you. You have helped the company and the country so much. Everywhere we have got positive reports about you. Sheikh of this country is so happy with you. Here is the first class air ticket for you and your family. Here is the voucher for all your luggage. You just tell us which packer should pack all the things and send it to you in India, wherever you want. And here is a bonus for you, the work which you have done, even though you have not completed the contract. But Sheikh gives you the bonus. This is what it gives you back when you do all the time good, irrespective of how the person behaves with you. Swami's teachings are very powerful only when you put into practice.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we don't have to go after wealth. We don't have to go after the material things. You just have to be genuine, be truthful, be sincere to Swami's teachings.
Yeah, and love everyone.
Love everyone. Then automatically all the happiness will come. I think that's what Swami is telling. See, I think that contentment, we need that contentment not out of material things, but that contentment of having followed Swami's teachings.
Absolutely, because there I had no dearth of anything. Anything under sun, salary was so much at that time. Anything I wished, I could have purchased. But there was no fulfillment. There was no contentment. There was no true ananda, bliss. I said, why? That was the reason. Because I was feeling I'm not directly connected to Swami by dealing with so many things which are unnecessary. So the contentment is very important.
And you realize that contentment cannot come from anything outside. Contentment can come only from something inside, only when you connect to the inner
self,
self within. I think contentment is only there because, I mean, the message, there is no happiness greater than contentment. And what is happiness? Happiness is union with God. So ultimately, contentment comes only when you connect with the divine.
Absolutely.
And so that is what Bhagwan is telling here. Greed yields only sorrow. Contentment is best. And contentment is what? Contentment is connect. Connect with the inner self. And that is...
Also, to some extent, if you see, we have covered the point of maintaining equanimity.
Yes.
How will you be able to maintain equanimity when you have full conviction, full faith in God?
Yes.
That He operates everything, from where, how the help will come. In this connection also, 1 minute more I will tell you. When I was leaving, when the reports were, my immediate boss was trying to trouble me. Boss's boss, he called me. He said, "Why do you want to go?" I said, "Some problem in the family." He said, "Yes, in our Islam also, for your children, yes, you can... break the contract. I'm with you." But I came to know later on that there was a lady, girl, married lady, in my company, my section, working as a junior chemist. I had helped her a lot because she was newly married and a child, about seven, 8 months old child, and he would cry, and then she would go to feed the child anytime. Only thing I had told her that, please don't do that. You tell me and go. Because based on your results, I can give the instructions what further to be done in the operations. One day, she was crying. She said, "I don't know whether my son will be alive or not." So I said, "Why?" Then she told me that he's purging and dehydrated and doctors are telling maybe a few more hours. Then thought came to me. I had a homeopathy medicine, a chamomile, I remember. So I told her, "What is her age? What is his age?" And I told her, "Madam, if you keep one secret with you, I will give you medicine for your son." She said, "Tell me." So I took her to my house, gave her the medicine. I said, secret is that we are not supposed to bring anything, medicine, which contains alcohol. This medicine doesn't contain alcohol, but the base of the medicine was alcohol. It was put on sugar pills. Alcohol is evaporated, but I have not declared because I didn't bring medicine myself. I told my friend who is the crew in Gulf Air, and he has brought it for me. So, but medicine will work on your son. She took the medicine. Next day, she came very happy. So,
wow.
She also had given positive report about me.
Mm.
When she
so you don't know how no. that little good that you do sometimes somewhere will come back to you.
Now I'll tell you one secret. Please, listeners, don't take it any other way. That girl, one day she came to my office. She said that, can I tell you, if you keep one secret with you, I'll tell you one very important, very useful thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what? She said, what do you think I am? I said, you're a chemist, assistant chemist for my plant. She said, that's all right. But I'll tell you, I am niece of the Prime Minister of this country.
Really? And you didn't know that?
I didn't know. And she said, I am supposed to give the report, who all are doing what.
Oh.
I have seen you so useful.
Wow.
So, anytime, anywhere, any problem you have, this is my special number. Those days, there were no cell phones. Mm-hmm. This is my direct number. You dial and I'll help you. That was one of the factors who allowed me, and the Sheikh gave me clear chit and then bonus and this and that.
Absolutely. And I think this is something whoever is always looking for opportunities to do good can connect to. That you don't know how that one little act of goodness
yes.
that you would have done sometime, somewhere, will come back to you and will just open up such beautiful vistas in your life.
Yeah.
And I think, but when you do that, you should not do with that intention
no.
of getting back something.
Yeah.
You just do it because you just...
It's your nature.
That's your nature. Because that is what gives you happiness.
Yeah.
You do it for your happiness. You because that is what is life meant for.
Absolutely.
I think with that spirit, if you do, then, you know... Because the results of, Swami is saying, the results of one's action, whether good or bad, continue to always pursue man, so
yeah.
that good will come back.
Come
back as nectar.
Oh, yes.
And I think that is what anybody who does good experiences. So, beautiful. Thank you so much, sir. I know, you know, time flies when you talk about Bhagwan, and our lives have been so much, so beautifully guided
by
Swami.
Protected.
Yeah, guided, protected, and because you, and more you reflect on your life, and more you think about what he has done, and more you are in awe of his love, and more you connect the different dots of your life
yes.
about how he
has been guiding us
yes.
every step
yeah.
of our life.
You thought Swami was there only in 2-3 places,
yeah.
but then you realize, no, he was there here also. And then you realize, oh my God, he's been all through. Even before I knew him, and even before even before I was born. And that's how we keep discovering the beauty of this beautiful relationship with Swami. Thank you so much, sir. It's really beautiful how Swami fills us with so much joy and that inspiration. Once you start to walk on this path with
really,
that enthusiasm.
Really so. In fact, in that connection, I'm grateful to you and inspired by the listeners that how much joy you people give me to recollect such sweet memories of decades old. And still I feel that it has happened just yesterday
yeah.
and I'm enjoying as much as I enjoyed at that moment. Probably now more than what
yeah.
I did that year.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, that's how it is with Bhagwan and what he does for us and what he means for us. Thank you so much, sir. So, dear listeners, as always, please feel free to connect with us. You can write to listener@radioside.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393258258. We'll continue these beautiful satsangs on Swami's Vahinis at this hour of Radio Sai for as long as Swami allows us. And please do join and let us together walk on this path with joy, with enthusiasm, with that zeal to one day become one with the ultimate one. Thank you so much. Sanam.
Thank you, Sanam.